Where there's books, there's prizes, and a couple of announcements in the past 24 hours have caught our eye. While the Stella Prize has just celebrated its second year recognising work, both fiction and non-fiction, by Australian women writers, there's been another prize since 1994 that celebrates local writing by women. It's got a slightly more specific brief. It's the Kibble Awards. That's an annual recognition of outstanding life writing by Australian women. They were established by Nita Dobby to honour the legacy of her aunt, Nita B. Kibble. She was the first female librarian at the State Library of New South Wales. Previous winners have included Geraldine Brooks and Helen Garner, and yesterday the 2014 winners were announced. Kate Richards won the $5,000 Dobby Literary Award for a first-time published author for her book Madness, a Memoir, which is out now from Penguin, and Christina Olsen took home the $30,000 Kibble Award for her remarkable book Boy Lost, a Family Memoir. Christina joins us on the line from Sydney. Congratulations, Christina.
Thanks, Michael. I'm a little bit in la-la land today.
La-la land? Well, reasonably. You're not just an award winner, you're a Kibble winner. That sounds even more impressive.
Indeed. I'm delighted, I have to say. I've been a bit in love with librarians, you know, ever since I wrote the first book and had enormous support and, you know, just the commitment of librarians, very meaningful for writers. So this is terrific.
Well, look, it's clearly a mutual appreciation society. Librarians clearly have a thing for you as well.
Well, isn't that nice? I'm hoping that will keep working for us.
I loved Boy Lost. I think it's an absolutely gorgeous book and an amazing achievement. In the afterword of it, you say the story, the one you have in your hands, is My Family's Broken Cup. It's an incredibly personal story. Does that make this win feel even more doubly sweet?
I guess it does in terms of recognition for Boy Lost itself, and I really hope for the wider story in Boy Lost, which is about all the stolen children, all the taken children, all the children who've been, all the families that have been shattered by various government policies over the years. I guess if there was an intention, you know, by the end of writing the book, it was that wider picture would perhaps be recognised. So if the award, you know, brings that a little bit more into focus, I'd be absolutely delighted.
The award and the reception the book's had suggests that it has struck a chord, that we're in the middle of a cultural moment where hopefully awareness of things like violence against women, some of the great institutional failings of this country, there's a kind of greater understanding of those than before. And I imagine the sharing of personal stories helps with that process.
Yes, well, I hope so, although I must say when I began to write the book, it wasn't in my mind. In fact, it was a story that I didn't think I'd ever be able to write because of the secrecy, the sort of the strictures of secrecy around the book. So, but you know, of course, eventually I did get to write it, and as I did and saw the resonances, I guess, with, as you say, the institutional failings, which of course affected Peter and affected my mother, and affect still to this day so many thousands of families, not just here but everywhere, I guess. But I don't know, Australia has, it seemed to me, has a particular kind of amnesia about our history of taking children, our history of splitting up families. So yeah, kind of hope that might get out there a little.
It's a memoir of extraordinary restraint in that while it's clearly your story and a very personal story to you, in a way you're absent from it until the very end. It's intensely focused on your stepbrother and on your mother.
Yes.
Does this make you want to do more life writing? Are you going to do one where you're front and centre? Or is that it? Are you running back to fiction and hiding behind made-up?
I'm running back to fiction, Michael. I enjoyed it, and I do enjoy the process of writing, of life writing. And, in fact, I've got two projects on the go. I've got a new novel on the go, but also a piece of long non-fiction, which is kind of a biography of the place I grew up on, the land I grew up on in New Farm in Brisbane, which, again, will take in a bit more of my father's story, which didn't make it into the book so much, into Boy Lost so much. But, I do enjoy the process of tunnelling in that you get in a different kind of way with non-fiction, as well. You know, fiction does its own tunnelling in, of course, and I'm enjoying that too. But yeah, so there'll be. I think I'll just keep flip-flopping between both now.
Perfect, flip-flop away. Look, just before we finish up, when he won the first Miles Franklin Award, Patrick White famously said he thought he might buy a fridge or a washing machine. What are you thinking? What does the Kibble make possible for you?
Oh, look, white goods. I'm with Patrick on that. I think a new fridge will be just the ticket. There might be a ticket to Denmark too to do a bit of research on the new novel. That would be terrific. And a bit of writing time, of course, you know. It's come at exactly the right time, right down to the bare bones in the bank account, so perfect timing.
Perfect. White Goods Travel and the next project. That is so fantastic. Congratulations, Christina, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Michael.
That was Christina Olsen, author of Boy Lost, a Family Memoir, and the just-announced winner of the 2014 Nita B. Kibble Literary Awards. I should also mention Deborah Adelaide, Melissa Lukashenko, Fiona McFarlane, and Jill Stark, all of whom were shortlisted for the awards this year. And there's a link to Christina's Life Matters interview about her book, Boy Lost, on our website. You're listening to Books and Arts Daily on RN. I'm Michael Williams. The thing about literary awards, the great power of them is shortlists. You know, that shortlist for the Kibble this year was about breadth of talent, a kind of recommended reading list. But if shortlists are your recommended reading list, then a long list is kind of further reading for the most diligent Poindexter amongst us. And few long lists attract the interest and fervour of the Man Booker Prize. Described by a previous judge as Britain's annual literary bitch fest, the Man Booker drives argument, heated passions, and analysis like few other awards. Last night, the 2014 long list was announced. And there were, as ever, a few notable inclusions and omissions. The arguments have already begun. Controversially, for the first time, the award has been open to American authors, and there was a kind of outcry that they were going to be flooded. There are five American authors on the long list of 13. They include Joshua Ferris, Karen Joy Fowler, Siri Hustvedt, Joseph O'Neill, and Richard Powers. Worthy inclusions all. Also included is Australian author Richard Flanagan for his novel The Narrow Road to the Deep North. This is a cause for celebration not because we are parochial nationalists here, but because the novel is a masterpiece. And Flanagan's a wonderful writer. We're hoping to get him on the show, possibly later today or tomorrow, to talk about the win. If we can't, we'll just rave about it further ourselves. The complete long list is up on the Books and Arts Daily, part of the RN website, for you to pore over and argue with.